and special services. Ukrainian government ministers have praised the site, and it is actively used by the authorities to track and detain enemies of the state.
While Western media and governments try to whitewash the extremist or far-right neo-Nazi elements here in Ukraine, calling it Russian propaganda, for a website promoted, supported and used by the government that openly encourages violence towards children is a clear indication that Ukraine does have a serious problem with state-sponsored extremism.
They're basically encouraging people to kill people on the list?
Yeah. They basically, that's why I've been in since 2015. I certainly cannot fall to the Ukrainian hands because I am on that list with several pages even. So, like the old saying is that the other's one's terrorist is another other one's freedom fighter. And hopefully all sense and truth and peace-loving people understand that all these people in that list are heroes.
To openly encourage violence towards children takes a special kind of evil, an evil that NATO countries, as they continue to pump Ukraine with money, weapons and political support, seem unwilling or incapable to challenge. Johnny Miller, Donbass.
The EU's tourism industry is currently thriving, but make no mistake, businesses facing huge overheads are struggling to turn a profit. In its summer economic forecast, the European Commission has revised growth downwards and inflation upwards. The bloc is concerned Russia is going to turn off all its gas supplies.
This risk has become more than just a hypothetical scenario for which we need to prepare. So a storm is possible.
For millions, the storm is already here. Governments are accused of not providing support to deal with the cost of living crisis arising from sanctions against Russia, but can find money for other causes. The EU is providing 9 billion euro to Ukraine to run the country and has sent a separate 2 billion for military equipment. This is in addition to the huge amounts of money being spent on Ukraine by individual member states, most of whom are in NATO, where military spending is also increasing. Not to mention the EU is developing its own army. Citizens say fueling the Ukraine war is costing the EU too much.
It's time to be talking about peace, not about weapons or providing more financial aid to the war.
If the parties could come together and agree a peace, that would be wonderful. But, you know, I'm not sure that's happening, right?
Yes, of course we need to end the war, but the problem is nobody knows how to end the war, you know.
The head of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, has been facing pressure during a visit to the European Parliament.
NATO, along with the US and the EU, were never a defensive mechanism, not before the war and not after it. They are offensive. Ukraine has been sacrificed for their interests.
Experts warn the growing social crisis in the EU will have dire consequences for the political establishment. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have condemned US President Joe Biden's visit to occupied Palestine. Scores of people in the blockaded enclave protested against Biden's visit while shouting slogans in support of resistance actions against the occupying regime. U.S. President Joe Biden arrived in Tel Aviv on Wednesday to kick off his first trip to the region since taking office. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas accused Joe Biden of putting the interests of the Israeli regime ahead of the legitimate rights of Palestinians and regional security.
The President of the United States of America carries nothing but unlimited support for the Zionist entity, its security and prosperity, and a package of false promises to the Palestinians. The United States' adoption of Zionist plans is based on uprooting our people from their land by force and obliterating their identity and history in favor of the Zionist entity.
During his trip to the occupied territories, Joe Biden visited U.S.-funded missile interception systems, including the so-called Iron Dome and Iron Beam. The Islamic Jihad movement says the U.S. administration only aims to prolong the Israeli occupation and support its aggression against the Palestinian people.
Joe Biden's visit comes to serve the interests of the Zionist entity, and he's not welcomed in our land. We believe that the U.S. and the Zionist regime share the same interests. Joe Biden has ignored the suffering of the Palestinian people and continues to support the Zionist regime.
Palestinians have warned against the dangers of Biden's agenda and the attempts to integrate the Israeli regime into the region and expand the circle of normalization with it. Analysts say that all U.S. administrations have adopted the same biased policy towards the Israeli regime.
When it comes to Israel and Israeli security, there is no difference at all between Republicans and Democrats. What we are witnessing today is that Democratic President Joe Biden support for the deal of the century and his support for further normalization between Israel and the Arab countries.
Palestinians are calling on the free people of the world to reject the arrogance and policies of the United States that target the region's security and stability.
Observers say that Joe Biden's visit will only give the Israeli regime the green light to further violate the rights of the Palestinian people. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we try to answer your questions, issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, acquire knowledge when you're very young, because when you grow up, you're going to be successful and progressful for your society. In this program, we try to give you the tips. We try to give you the information how you can make your children give all that knowledge as young as possible, where you can start up with your children. While on that note, we have with us in our studio today Mr. Salman Naqvi, who is a faculty member of Al-Mustafa University and an Islamic researcher in the Hafza Almi of Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's an honor. Thank you very much.
Brother Naqvi, in our previous sessions, we talked about how we can help a child maintain relationship with his own self. In this session, I would want to ask you how a child can develop, maintain relationships with other human beings.
Yes, we are talking about the classification of behavior.
Yeah.
As you said, that we have talked about the relationship with oneself and all the various types of things which he has to take care of, she has to take care of as a child or as a parent who is trying to teach and educate their children about these things.
Yes.
So now we come to the point where we have to teach our child about how to maintain relationships.
Yes.
With other human beings.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the other human beings, the first thing which comes is the family.
Okay.
My relationship with my family. Okay. I have to teach him how to behave with his family, which his family means
the parents themselves. Yes.
How he should be able to maintain a relationship with his or her parents. That is very much the foremost thing that has to be taught. And of course, they are grandparents.
Yes.
If people have their children who have their grandparents living with them, or even if not living with them, but how to deal with their grandparents, how to love them, take care of them. How to respect them, how to maintain a good friendly relationship with them, how to take care of them. Many people have grandparents who are of age, they are sick, they are ill,
mm-hmm.
and so many things. So we're just talking about the major issues that are there. Then at a detailed level, we have to go into the different the details, the intricacies of these relationships. But just to give the bigger picture, that as a parent, because we're talking about our audience are the parents.
Yes.
We're talking to the parents now.
Yeah.
And the parents should know what their scope of guidance and upbringing is. So we talked about how to manage their relationships
with self.
And now we're talking about with other human beings. And the foremost thing is the family. The relationship which a child should have with the parents themselves, the parents have to teach him or her how to deal with his or her parents.
Yes.
And that, of course, can be done by my parents are alive and my children observe how I am dealing with my parents, how I respect them, how I establish that loving relationship with them, that relationship where there's trust and there's love and there's respect. And he or she observes me taking care of my parents.
Okay.
And he or she will certainly
automatically
learn that.
Indeed.
Then comes the level of my siblings, my brothers and sisters. So how do I deal with my sister? How I deal with my brother?
And if they're elder to you, how
if they're elder
deal with
to
them?
You,
how,
they are
younger
than you. So many issues are there.
Yes. So these relationship domains are important. How you manage all that is important, and how a child can develop all the skills. We'll continue that discussion with you after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are talking about how a child can manage a relationship with others. And the first thing we came to know about was how he can manage relationship with his family, his parents, his mother, his father, his grandparents, his siblings. And now you're talking about other relationships.
So, yes, as we said, I mean, others, the first thing, the parents themselves, the grandparents, and then the siblings. And then one is getting prepared for marriage.
Yes.
Now he has to know how to manage his relationship with his spouse or
of
her
course.
Spouse. That is also, it has to be taught. It has to be learned in the family.
Okay, so I as a parent have to manage my behavior with my partner so that my child learns how he behaves with his spouse tomorrow.
Exactly. Of course, there are certain things which I cannot teach them. I should send my child to
a trainee, a mentor.
A pre-marital course or something like that where he learns or she learns how to engage. I mean,
how to behave with his spouse tomorrow.
I mean, unfortunately, in the beginning, there's all love, 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 and then there's quarrel, quarrel, quarrel.
Yes, of course.
So how do we do that?
Because they don't have a proper knowledge about how to deal with all these relationships.
There's a slogan given one of our Iranian scholars. In Persian, he says, "Aqilane izdivaj kunid." Aashiqane zindagi kunid.
Okay, what does that mean?
It means that when you are going to get engaged and going to get married, make a proper intellectual decision.
Yeah.
Understand each other. Understand what your goals
get
are.
Get involved intellectually. Goals. How and then
are you compatible?
That.
Are you compatible?
Yeah.
Before putting on this.
Yes.
It's like a chain.
Yeah.
It's not going to be removed easily. So before you put on that chain.
Just know that intellectually. What
it is. What
kind of chain you're putting on.
And then live with a loving relationship.
Yeah.
But mostly we do it oppositely.
We start with love and then we try to go to the intellect. All right. So that's
so
an important
this
point.
Is how I, so my, I have to learn how to, for example, when I'm getting married, I know what's how to select my spouse.
Okay.
How to, that selection is done. And then after getting married, how we have to live together. What are the rules,
the fiqh
rules, the ethics,
and
how to manage these relationships.
Yes.
So I have to learn that.
All right.
Mostly we start learning after
getting into a relationship.
Of course, much of that, it's natural that much of that learning comes afterwards, but you have to be prepared for that.
Yes, yes.
At least on a theoretical level.
Definitely.
And then comes our relationship with our children. I have to be able to, when my child is going to become a parent, then how to manage his or her relationship with their children.
Well, that's a turn over here. So what other relations a child has to learn? I'll talk on that note with you after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIP English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are talking about how a child can manage relationship with others. Mr. Naqvi, so far you said how he can manage relationship with his parents. He needs to take care of his relationship with grandparents. He needs to take care of his relationship with siblings, be that younger, be that elder. He needs to take care of their relationship with a spouse when he gets elder, when he gets grown up tomorrow. And when he becomes a parent tomorrow, how he develops a relationship with his own children, that all has to be learned from a particular age.
And that's, we were talking about the family relationship, and we were talking about the first degree relatives. These are the first degree relatives.
First degree relatives.
And then we have the second degree relatives.
Of course.
A whole big family. Many people have big families, huge families, aunts and uncles and cousins and so many.
Joint families.
Extended families, joint families. So many things which have, we have so many relationships we have to manage.
Yes.
And then we have amongst those second degree relatives, as I said, the blood relatives.
Yes.
And more important than when you get married, you have in-laws.
Of course.
So that's the most delicate relationship, which is, you know, which has to be maintained.
Yes. So if you're prepared at a very early age for all that, all those relationships, and when you reach that particular age of marriage, and then when you have in-laws, you don't get into trouble.
Exactly. I mean, the basic values which govern our relationships, basically the general principles are the same for every relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to say and impress upon the audience that there are so many relationships and so many difficulties. Yes, these are challenges, but certain core values, knowledge, skills are there, which are general for all.
Okay.
But then there are certain knowledge and skills which are specific for certain relationships.
Okay.
I mean, certainly the relationship which you have with your parents or your siblings is quite different from what is there with your spouse.
Okay.
So the skill, knowledge and skill set differs quite
There's a huge difference between those maintenance of relationships with your siblings and your spouse and others.
Of course, and your children, and then your blood relatives, then your in-laws. So these are very delicate issues which have to be managed. And one has to be able to, one should be prepared. I mean, what are we targeting? We are targeting general competencies in human behavior.
Yeah.
We're not talking about professional competencies. We're not talking about that. It's just one aspect of our lives.
Okay.
Professional competencies, I'm becoming a doctor, I'm becoming an engineer, I'm becoming a software specialist, I'm becoming a manager.
Yeah. So these were all general relationships one has to take care of, one has to learn at a very early age. And as soon as a child learns all that, he gets into developed into what we want, and maybe when he is he's professional at this general level, he gets professional at a social level as well tomorrow. Thank you so much, Mr. Nakavi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions for us, you have any feedback, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on the social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. You can also download our programs on our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. Until another session, fi amanullah. God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life. A way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Principles of Friendship. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Dear listeners, welcome to A to Z. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. In today's lesson, we will talk about principles of friendship. And today, we will talk about how to be a successful friend. Since the early childhood stage, and even before the child starts learning how to talk, he starts to incline and interact with other children around him at home. He plays and competes with them with anything their hand or which is at their disposal. Now, this early inclination and association with others is man's nature towards others. And this inclination shows the social instinct in man's nature. Now, because man was created with Allah's wisdom to live in human society, thus the incentive instinct in man and the psychological feeling of living with others forces the man towards friendships and relationships with others. It is in view of this that man feels depression and sadness whenever he is alone, without a companion. This is not the only matter, because a man always needs others, and others always need him. In general, a man cannot survive on his own socially. A man needs someone to be with. A man needs a friend. A man needs someone he can listen to and someone who he can listen also. That way, it completes both sides of the man and the other guys.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to A to Z program from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the principles of friendship. And we are talking about the principles of friendship by analyzing how to be a successful friend. What are the essentials of one to be a successful friend? So we say that a man is created to be a friend of others, and that a man cannot survive just on himself. He needs someone else socially to survive in this world. So it is through friendship and association, as well as exchanging views and opinions, that complete the humanity of a man, his efforts and his psychological as well as material needs. The Holy Quran explains this reality in saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and this is in chapter 49, verse number 13. O mankind, surely we have created you from a male and a female, and made you tribes and families, that you may know each other. Surely the noblest of you with Allah is the most dutiful of you. This means that human life is friendship. The life of a man needs friendship, love, and assistance. There is no good for someone who repels people without befriending them. There's no good in being alone. And no doubt, this type of bad habit and isolating yourself from people shows the feeling of insufficiency on the side of that same person and lack of confidence in himself. So, an open and social person who creates a social relation with others is a person who is self-confident and of good morals. Because through such relationships, i.e. when he granted his love and confidence to others, as well as getting the same thing from them, all these build-ups make him feel happy and relieved. Till next episode, God bless you all, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page, where you can find all our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode and another lesson, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
in the limelight.
In the U.S., a day after the West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin scuttled plans to pass a climate and tax package, many in his party blamed him for the demise of their ambitions and expressed a lack of trust in him. The article you're about to hear has been written by New York Times journalists Emily Cochrane, Katie Edmondson, and Stephanie Lai. The piece is titled, Manchin Dangles Hopes of a Future Compromise, Democrats Revolt. Please stay with us for more. It was a familiar, if excruciating, position for Democrats. A day after pulling the plug on his party's plans to pass a climate, energy and tax package this summer, Senator Joe Manchin III of West Virginia, the conservative-leaning Democrat who has repeatedly flirted with compromise only to scuttle his party's highest ambitions, called in on Friday to a West Virginia radio show. Perhaps, he suggested, in another month or so, he might see his way clear to salvaging the last bits of President Joe Biden's domestic agenda. There was no guarantee, of course, and the comments were only the latest instance of Joe Manchin capitalizing on his role as a swing vote in an evenly divided Senate to dictate his party's legislative strategy, leaving Democrats at his mercy. This time, though, Democrats had had enough. Rather than engage in another round of will he or won't he negotiations with Mr. Manchin, President Biden let it be known that he was done trying to secure his climate agenda in Congress. Joe Manchin's abrupt withdrawal left Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York and the majority leader, jilted after months of courting a colleague whose demands and red lines seemed to shift by the day, or the latest economic projection. And it prodded many Democrats into open revolt against Mr. Manchin, blaming him for the demise of their ambitions and the last chance for their party to tackle the existential threat of climate change. Joe Manchin, said Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington, the chairwoman of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, has shown that he doesn't know how to close a deal, or he doesn't want to close a deal, and that you can't trust him. For more than a year, Joe Manchin, who at 74 is serving his third term in the Senate, has been situated exactly where he prefers to be, at the center of the high-stakes political and policy negotiation, with attention and speculation focused on him. Democrats have toiled to win his vote on any piece of their once ambitious domestic agenda, tailoring their policy moves so as not to alienate him. They have contorted themselves to suit his often changing dictates and have scaled back their ambitions repeatedly to stay within his red lines. But they have so far come away empty-handed on their biggest priorities. Because of Democrats' razor-thin margin of control in the 50-50 Senate and unified Republican opposition to most of their agenda, Joe Manchin has effective veto power over the party's legislative strategy and has exercised it often and unapologetically. But while President Biden and congressional Democrats have pushed for transformative policies to confront generational challenges such as climate change, Joe Manchin, who channels the desires of his very conservative coal and gas producing state, has focused on nearer term issues. On Friday, he said he had told party leaders he wanted to wait another month until inflation numbers for July were released, before he could decide on whether to act on climate change. I am where I have been. I would not put my staff through this, I would not put myself through this if I wasn't sincere about trying to find a pathway forward to do something that's good for our country," Joe Manchin said on Friday in the interview with the radio host Hoppy Kershaval. "They cannot come to grips because I have a D by my name, or someone has an R by their name. We should do whatever one side wants. That's not me." President Biden made no mention of Joe Manchin in a statement issued on Friday. Asked at a news conference in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, whether the West Virginian senator had been negotiating in good faith, the president demurred, saying he was not the one who had been negotiating with him. But angry congressional Democrats pinned their frustration on the West Virginia Democrat. One senator, Martin Heinrich of New Mexico, mused publicly about whether Joe Manchin deserved his chairmanship of the Committee on Energy and Natural Resources. "It's been a really, really terrible day," Senator Tina Smith, Democrat of Minnesota and a key champion of climate provisions, said in an interview. "If Senator Manchin wants a deal on climate and energy, he can have one in a heartbeat. This is Senator Manchin's deal for the taking, and if it doesn't happen, it is on him." On Capitol Hill, Joe Manchin is something of a unicorn, the only national Democrat from his ruby-red state, and acts and votes accordingly. Set to face voters in 2024, he is unlikely to be threatened by a primary challenger in a state former President Donald Trump won by nearly 40 percentage points in 2020. That has given Mr. Manchin leverage to accomplish his own policy goals, including holding firm against moving entirely away from oil and gas, and resist what he considers his party's lurch towards its liberal base. He appears happiest when he is in the middle of a consequential policy negotiation. He has been wined and dined as a crucial participant in bipartisan talks, invited to President Biden's Wilmington home for breakfast, and pursued by the White House officials, lawmakers, aides and reporters who dissect his every syllable for a kernel of insight. But the murkiness and at times inconsistency of Joe Manchin's positions has increasingly grated on his Democratic colleagues. Barely 3 months into the Biden administration, he prompted the longest open vote in modern Senate history by raising a last-minute objection to the size of unemployment benefits in the $1.9 trillion pandemic aid plan. Democrats had to slash the jobless payments to win his vote, which cemented passage of the package. He refused to help Democrats change filibuster rules to enact voting rights legislation, killing the effort even after Chuck Schumer gave him the lead role in writing an alternative bill to ensure he would support it. But on no issue has Joe Manchin bedeviled Democrats more than on their ambitious social safety net, climate and tax package. To win his vote to begin work on the plan, Chuck Schumer signed on to a secret memo with Mr. Manchin that made clear that the West Virginian senator had no intention of accepting the $3.5 trillion in spending envisioned in Democrats' budget. The document outlined Joe Manchin's much narrower parameters for a $1.5 trillion package, including income thresholds for social programs and accommodations for fossil fuel tax credits and natural gas. "I will try to dissuade Joe on many of these," Chuck Schumer scrawled on the document, which enraged many Democrats when it became public. He never could. 6 months later, Joe Manchin abruptly walked away from talks on the package. Democrats regrouped in January and began efforts to rebuild their shattered plan, adhering strictly to the components that Joe Manchin had repeatedly laid out: paying down the national debt, overhauling parts of the tax code, and lowering the cost of prescription drugs by allowing Medicare to negotiate prices and some spending. By earlier this month, Senate Democrats had begun rolling out pieces of a package they believed could win Joe Manchin's support, including a drug pricing proposal and a plan to shore up the solvency of a key Medicare program by increasing taxes for some high-earning Americans. But by Thursday evening, 14th of July, after news that prices had surged 9.1% in the year ending in June, Joe Manchin balked again, telling Chuck Schumer that he wanted to wait on any climate or tax proposals until seeing inflation figures for the month of July. Should Democrats insist on pushing forward with legislative action before then, Joe Manchin said, they should act only on proposals aimed at lowering the cost of prescription drugs and extending expanded Affordable Care Act subsidies. Let's wait until that comes out so we know what we're going down the path. It won't be inflammatory to add more to inflation, Joe Manchin said in the radio interview. Recounting Chuck Schumer's response, Joe Manchin added, I said, Chuck, it's wrong. It's not prudent to do the other right now. I want climate, I want an energy policy, he said, adding, I thought we were moving truly in the right direction. But Chuck Schumer appeared to have grown exasperated and convinced that Joe Manchin's vote was not obtainable. One official said that Joe Manchin had rebuffed major concessions that would have enraged progressive Democrats, including adding more drilling measures, removing a key electric vehicle tax credit and dropping tax increases he had resisted. Mr. Manchin's stance effectively scuttled the chances of action in the coming days on a critical priority for Democrats and strongly suggested that unless they abandon the climate and tax proposals altogether, they might not salvage any of their domestic policy package before the midterm congressional elections in November. In September, after a five-week planned recess, lawmakers will have only a limited window to act on the package, and they're eager to give themselves as much time as possible to campaign on whatever they pass before the November elections. Bearing political scars from a year of fractious talks, few Democrats on Friday, 15th of July, seemed willing to gamble that there was a larger deal to be had in September.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم and welcome back again. Inshallah, in this session we will continue, we'll go through the rule ikhfa and apply the rule on some of the verses of the Holy Quran, okay?
هذا النور شفاء صدور فاض وعطر كل لسان وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن وهنا حلقات الصديق
قلب ينبض بالقرآن.
So we talked about the rule ikhfa, which means hiding the sound of noon or
tanween.
Tanween. Noon is sakin, not noon mutaharrik. If noon has fatha, kasra, dhamma, you can't hide. Okay, you have to say it. But whenever the noon is sakin, it doesn't have any harakat. Okay, and it means it doesn't have any short vowel sound. So no a, no e, no u. So it is sakin. So hiding that sound. Okay, how should we hide? This is important. Okay, you kind of close your mouth a little. Okay, but just let the air. Okay, go out of your mouth. Okay, mouth. Okay, meow, meow. Just try to hide it. Okay, someone, for example, you put an almond or a candy, something, okay, in your mouth. Okay, and you try to hide that one. Nobody sees. Okay, you close your mouth easily, but do not close your mouth. Okay. Just try to close a little, okay? But it has to have a space, okay? Between your lips. This way. That's it. You can see me, right?
Yes.
That's called ikhfa, how we do it, okay? For example, mil, mil ju'in, mil, mil duni, okay? Ahadan, and for example, dal comes, okay? Ahadan or fa comes, okay? Whatever. So that's called ikhfa, hiding the sound of nun sakin or
tanween.
That's easy. But there is one important point about ikhfa with light letters and ikhfa with
heavy
letters. This is important. So when you apply the rule ikhfa with light letters, not heavy letters. Heavy letters are?
Ghain.
Ghain was from idhar. The rest of the heavy letters. Ra, kha, ghain. These
ba.
Three letters are not in ikhfa.
Yes.
Ba.
Mm-hmm. Sad, dad, ta,
ba,
qaf.
Qaf.
Yes. Qaf.
Yes.
Sad, dad, ta, za. These five letters, okay? You have to produce an ikhfa sound, but a heavy ikhfa. How, for example? For example, we have Mim, Noon, Min. This word is very easy. I'm making an example, okay? Min, then Sod. We have Mio, Mio, So, Mio, look. But when it's Fa, Mio, Mio, it's light sound. Light Ikhfa sound. Pay attention. Fa after Noon Sakin. Mio, 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 Bat. Heavy letter. Mio, Mio, do you pay attention?
Yes.
Mio, it's a heavy sound. Mio, it's a light sound, okay? Light ikhfa and heavy ikhfa. It is very important, okay?
Okay.
So the letters as well we learned, okay? The letters. Remember this ikhfa that I told you with light letters and heavy letters. With heavy letters, okay, ikhfa is done with both of them, okay? Ikhfa is done with ghunna. That's a ghunna sound. I told you that day, okay, that ghunna, when I was explaining ghunna,
yes.
I said ghunna is also used in idgham. It's also used in
ikhfa.
So, meow, this is a nasal sound that comes from your nose. Meow, meow, qabli, meow, qabli, okay? Minkum, minkum, that's a nasal sound. Minkum, okay? All right?
Yes.
So, that's all about ikhfa, okay? So, let's go and practice some words. Try to practice some words with me, okay? Now, let's practice some words with heavy letters, okay? Ikhfa with heavy letters. So, would you repeat after me? Yan dhuru. Yan dhuru. Dha. Ta dha. Yan Dhuru. Say it.
Yan dhuru.
Separately, yes. Yan dhuru.
Yan dhuru.
Noon is sakin we have or no?
Yes.
Noon is sakin. After noon is sakin?
Dha.
Is it from the rest of the letters?
Yes.
It's not yermalun. It's not throat letter. It's not the letter ba. Okay? The rest of the letters. So, is it a heavy letter or light letter?
Heavy.
Heavy letter. Yan dhuru. Dha. Law is a heavy letter. So, we should apply the rule?
Ikhfa.
But, ikhfa? With heavy letter and it means with ghunna. That's right. Okay, how do you say it? ينظرون. That's right. ينظروا ينظروا. Do it again, Hussein Musa.
ينظرون.
That's right. That's correct. That's the correct way to produce the sound. إخفاء sound, okay? With noon and heavy letter la. ينظروا ينظروا. غنة means that producing a nasal sound and also stretching, yeah?
Yes.
The sound. ينظروا. The next one. Ali Nasir, you do this example. من طغى. Say it separately.
من طغى.
Okay. من طغى. Now, نون ساكين plus طا. طا is a heavy letter. إخفاء, right?
Yes.
From the rest of the letters. So, Ali Nasir.
من طغى.
أحسنت. ما شاء الله. من طغى. من طغى. So, Hussein Ruhullah. Next
yes.
example with تنوين. عذاباً قريباً.
عذاباً قريباً. Yes.
Okay. عذاباً تنوين.
Yes.
قريباً قاف. تنوين plus قاف. قاف is a heavy letter, right?
Yes. Yes.
It's from the rest of the letters.
Yes.
So عذاباً قريباً. How do you apply the rule of إخفاء here?
عذاباً قريباً.
Uh-huh. Again.
عذاباً قريباً.
عذاباً. If you say N, this is light letter, light
yes.
sound. N, N, عذاباً, عذاباً, عذاباً قريباً. Do it again.
عذاباً قريباً.
أحسن. So, mashallah, mashallah, Hussein Ruhullah, عذاباً قريباً.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran?
آيات الله حمدتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي.
Next example, okay, فوات. كتب قيمة. فيها كتب قيمة. Okay, كتب تنوين. قيمة قاف heavy letter. How do you apply the rule إخفاء?
كتب
قيمة.
قيمة.
Okay, now apply the rule إخفاء.
كتب قيمة.
That's correct. كتب قيمة. With غنة sound. كتب قيمة. So, practice these four examples after me. ينظروا
ينظروا
من طغى
من طغى
عذابا قريبا
عذابا قريبا
كتب قيمة
كتب قيمة.
Okay, and one more example. من قبل
من قبل
منكم
منكم.
This, when it comes to إخفاء with the letter كاف, okay, it's a little different. How? When you hide the sound نون, try to hide it in a way which comes kind of close to the letter كاف. It means you're hiding the sound of the نون, okay, or تنوين.
Yes.
But from the other way, from the other side, okay, you are kind of making the sound of كاف more clear.
Yes.
Look, minkum, minkum, a nasal sound. Minkum, say it. Minkum,
minkum.
Okay, minkum. That's good. More nasal sound. It is okay. Cough. Minkum,
minkum.
Okay, and also sheen. Sheen is as well this way. Okay. For example, we have min sharri.
Yes.
Min. Me, look, mish, mish, mish. It comes close to the letter sheen sound,
yes.
Okay? Okay, the sound of the letter sheen.
Mishari.
Mishari. Do not say mishari. Mishari. Me, for example, we have min sharri. Min sharri al-waswas al-khannas. So the letter kaf and the letter sheen, they are kind of different. Min sharri minkum. Okay? So pay attention to this. Okay. So alhamdulillah, we learned what ikhfa is and how we apply the rule, okay? So ikhfa means hiding, and also it is the pronunciation of nun sakina or tanween in a way so that the sound is between idgham and idhar. We said yes, between idgham and idhar. It's nice. Kind of hiding and also producing a ghunna sound, a nasal sound, okay? Hiding that sound, and also ghunna. What was ikhfa? Idhar? Idhar was to do nothing.
Yes.
Okay? But in ikhfa, we hide it. We hide it, it means we do not merge it, we do not change it.
Yes.
So it is much closer to the idhar rule, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And also idgham, we do not apply it in with ikhfa, okay? Idgham is not here. Idhar is not here. Iqlab is not here. It is just something between idgham and idhar, it says, okay? So ghunna is there from idgham that we have. Idhar is there, why? Because we do not change, we do not merge, okay? Yes. Idhar, we do not do anything. Just hide it a little, okay? The sound is clear. We see it is noon. Meow. It is noon, yes? Is it noon sound or no? Meow. Yes. Qabli. Noon sound it is, okay? We hide it. But still we understand that this is the noon sound. But when you say, may ya'mal, do you understand there is a noon?
No.
Famay ya'mal. No, there is no noon sound. Okay? But whenever it comes to ikhfa, you clearly understand that, yeah, there is a noon sound, okay? But we have hidden, okay? We have hidden. So, may ya'mal idgham, noon is not clear. Mio, noon is clear, okay? We have that noon sound, but a little hiding it, okay? We are hiding it. So, that was about ikhfa. Ikhfa with heavy letters, ikhfa with light letters. It is important, you have to pay attention, okay? So that's it. So thank you so much. God bless you, inshallah. We'll take a break and we'll be back, okay? Let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.